You are listening to not the Punk News Podcast, but rather the Punk News Summer Song Special. Let's check it out. And welcome back to the Punk News Summer Song Special. This is features editor John Gentile. Unfortunately, Adam White is not here this week. He's down in Memphis or Kansas City or somewhere eating barbecue till he gets his fill. So we are here with two other classics, two other guys that are always in the Punk News Podcast, telling it like it is. We got the young and we got the old. I'm not going to say which is which, but we are here with reviews writer Tom Trauma. Tom Trauma, what's happening out there in Grand Rapids?
Nothing, man. Sun's shining. It's nice.
They haven't.
Nothing too exciting.
Nothing's happening in Grand Rapids. And we also are here with news editor, reviews writer, and interviewer, Tricky Ricky Frankel. Tricky Ricky, what's happening out there in the LA, the summer, the sunshine, the summery air, the girls in the bikinis, the warm beach, the rolling waves, the surfboards? What's happening?
You know, I last weekend I was in Venice Beach, and everything you said is correct. Summer is fast, is very fast approaching here, and you know, it's gonna be hot as fuck, so definitely looking forward to that.
So what'd you do in Venice Beach? What were you doing out there?
A friend of mine from college was in town, and he had never been, so we walked around the boardwalk, got food,
pumped some iron.
And then we headed over to Amoeba Records just for fun.
What'd you pick up?
I actually realized I never bought a copy of Dag Nasty's Can I Say? So I picked that up.
Did you enjoy it?
I'm a pretty new Dag Nasty fan. Another Stevie and her husband John have always been telling me to listen to them, and I've been into it, especially since the new 7-inch came out. I've been trying to play catch up on the DC hardcore scene.
And so the point of this week's podcast is we're not actually going to talk about news like we usually do. We're going to do a little bit of mail. We're going to talk about something else. But generally, we're just going to play some hot new tunes from 2016 that we think you should check out. Not necessarily happening bands, not necessarily bands everyone knows about, not necessarily buzz bands. Bands that we just think are cool, that are doing cool things in 2016. But before we do that, let's check our mailbag. As always, you can reach us at podcast@punknews.org. This is from Joe. Joe says, and actually, this is Joe just naming some tunes that he's down with. Hi, guys. My name is Joe, and I love your podcast. I was selling tickets for a show last week. Next door, there was a punk show. The three bands I heard in order were The Bad Idols from Knoxville, Tennessee, SVU from Memphis, Tennessee, and Gutter Villains from Tulsa, Oklahoma. All these bands were really great and took the time to talk to me. I couldn't go inside the venue to see them because I'm 12. And the 21 and up age limit totally understood and gave me a CD and their Bandcamp pages. These guys were awesome and are keeping punk alive. Well, I'll tell you, speaking of people that are keeping punk alive, I'll tell you, Joe, at the age of 12, is keeping punk alive. So, Joe, thanks for writing in. I appreciate it. Tom Trump.
Way to get started early, Joe.
Yeah, that is pretty early. Tom Trump, what's your opinion of 12-year-olds punking it up?
My kids honestly have grown up always like listening to the Ramones. I mean, I'm not saying I like play, you know, Dayglo Abortions around the house all the time or the Dwarves, but my kids think like Joey, Johnny, you know, they think they're like more important than Paul McCartney and John Lennon. So I'm okay with it. I just think you need to sort of take it easy, you know, kind of work their way into it. You can't start with something like super heavy. You have to like start with the Ramones. That's like your foundation. Ramones, Clash, Sex Pistols, you know, go from there. That's the right way to do it. Raise a child.
Well, listen, Joe, the fact that you're in a punk rock at 12 shows that you're a smarter man than I am, that you're an intellectual guy, that you're a thinking guy, and you're a guy that appreciates art. One thing that I think when I was younger, like, people that seem cool when you're 12 or 13 or 14 seem really lame when you're like 26 or 27. Tom, you know what I'm talking about?
I sure do.
And so, and Ricky, you know what I'm talking about? Like when you're 12 or 13, like, oh, that guy's so cool. And then when you're like 24, 25, you're like, that guy's a complete loser. So my advice to you, Joe, is keep punking it up. Keep doing what you're doing. But realize that a lot of the guys in punk rock that seem like they're cool when you're young actually aren't cool. You know, as always, think for yourself and, you know, make smart choices. Don't do something just because someone says it's cool or because a group's doing it. You know, think for yourself and play it smartly. Make smart choices. Be careful, but keep doing interesting things. So, Joe, thanks for writing in. We always appreciate it. And in contrast to Joe's positive complimentary email to us, Ricky Franco, I'm afraid you got a bit of criticism this week or last week. this person, let me pull his name up real quick. This is Neil. Neil felt the need to write in through various media forms.
And is this the guy from Facebook?
Not only Facebook. He wrote in through other areas, too.
Make sure you didn't miss it.
Ricky is never allowed to pick any songs on the podcast again. The last bullshit that he played was effing horrific. So Ricky,
Ricky, do you remember?
Is he talking about the Lil Jon cover?
I don't know. He said time? The 369 bullshit.
Oh yeah, he's talking about the Lil Jon Get Low cover from the Lysol Gang. Listen, Neil, I respect your opinion. Here's the deal.
Are you on the take?
No, I knew going in, like, what's it called? I knew going in that one was a bit of a risk because, it's not exactly a punk song, but I thought it was, if you had been at the show that I was at when I saw them, play that song, it was pretty cool. So I wanted to just, you know, they were a band that I thought that deserved to at least get played. Again, respect the opinion. I actually had other people tell me they liked it. So I figured I would get a sort of split on that.
And speaking of also flack, poor Tom Trauma. Uh-oh. Tom Trauma is still taking a beating from a review he did 2 or 3 weeks ago. Uh-oh. And so, Tom, you know which review that is?
Oh, is it Restorations?
I'm not going to say which, but Tom Trauma.
Oh,
Tom Trauma.
I thought I was very kind in that review. If you don't want me to intimate that the show was a little dull, don't be dull.
Well, there you have it. Tom Trauma.
He's just being an honest guy.
It wasn't
guy.
Bad. I said it was a decent night of entertainment. Whatever. Go ahead. Sorry, John. Read it. Beat me. Senseless.
Oh well. I'm not beat me. Nice circle jerk. Exactly. I'm not going to read the email, but it just goes to show. You know, sometimes bands get reviewed negatively and they don't like it. And I understand it.
I considered it a positive review. If they would have gotten a negative review, they would have known it. But whatever.
They really didn't. And my point is this is, as always, a review is just someone's opinion. And I think if a band doesn't like someone's review, I think they should feel free to comment on that and say why they think the review is wrong or how they disagree with the review. To me, a review was a conversation in that, like, people can go back and forth. It's not a final word. Like, a lot of reviewers, when especially over Pitchfork, when they write these really harsh reviews and the bands like bust on them, they go on their Twitter rant to say, well, you know, it's criticism. You know, this is what criticism is all about. I don't think criticism is a one-way attack, and I think bands should be free and should feel free to talk about how they don't like reviews.
I sort of mock the fact that they had a keyboard and how that's not very punk and stuff like that.
I disagree. I think a keyboard can be punk. You don't think a keyboard can be
John,
punk?
Yeah, you think everything's punk.
A keyboard, when used right,
unless your singer is Ronnie James Dio, you should not have a keyboard in your band. That's
How about the screamers?
Well, wait a minute. Hang on a second.
Leftover actually make it work. There's a few exceptions.
And also, Leftover Crack has been performing with a keyboard in the last Constructs.
Well,
when
you tell them that's not,
and here's the thing
with this particular band. I didn't think they were bad, and I didn't. It's just, you know, it's not really my thing. The question I have about the whole why is this band so embraced by the punk community? That's my whole question about that particular band. But whatever.
Well, here's why,
I don't really
Tom,
want to diss them. I don't know them at all. I'm sure they're very nice people. I really wasn't trying to write a negative review. That was not my intention.
Yeah, and actually, that is the thing. When you write a thing about a band and they really like get offended and you feel bad about it, you know?
But actually, Tom, I don't feel bad about it. It's fine.
Well, Tom, you raise a good point. And the fact is, Tom, punk to a certain segment of people, maybe even a certain generation, is something that's entirely different than what it is to you and I. And the only connective tissue is the name punk and maybe the fact that it's generally independent. You know what I mean? And so I think that's where a lot of conflict comes from, guys like you and me, with other types of artists that maybe aren't as crazy or as wild as you and I would like on stage. And the fact is, it's because we're each calling something the same name, but it's actually something almost entirely different. And we're fighting over the use, you know, of the name.
But the thing, last week we had a bunch of Blink 182 news, and you know, it came, and I made a backhanded comment about how I didn't really consider Blink 182 to be a punk band, and people jumped all over me, and they were angry about it. But what concerns me about it is, okay, maybe they're a punk band to you, but what concerns me about Blink 182 is this is clearly like a band that a lot of people hold in the same regard as we like hold the Clash and the Ramones. The Blink 182 is a huge band. I didn't realize how much people that are like 30 years old. This is like they think they're the best band ever, and I just I don't get it.
No. Here's the thing. I think when it comes, I said this on the last podcast when we talked about the slightly mediocre song they released last week.
You thought it was slightly mediocre.
They are.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, for context, dude. you know. Here's the thing. It wasn't a great song. It wasn't. Anyway, I don't need to. I went in on the.
Come on.
I went down that road last week. But anyway,
come on. Keep digging yourself deeper.
The thing is, you cannot compare Blink 182 to the Clash or the Ramones. That is garbage. You can't. That's at least in my opinion. You can't do that. Because and also even Descendants. I mean, what I think people are getting confused with, and you need to delve a little deeper, they are clearly a punk-influenced band. Punk There's no denying band.
I can agree with that.
They are a punk-influenced, pop-influenced power rock band.
Nothing subversive about it. For me, even when they started, they weren't subversive, Ricky. There was nothing subversive about their lyrics. The fact that they cursed a little bit and tried to be a little dirty, that's not subversive. They just, there's no element of anything to me that linked them to like punk rock.
But see, Tom, care about Blink 182 if they never called themselves punk to begin with? Let's say they called themselves something different.
I don't care about them now. I think they're like an alt rock band. They're a huge band, dude. I saw them at a geriatric punk rock festival. And they were playing for like 50, 60,000 people and people were thrilled. We left. I mean,
Yeah.
Here's the thing with gateway punk bands. In order for a gateway punk band to be successful, they have to go back and figure out what punk's all about. If that's the furthest you dig, then it's worthless. Because a lot of people say, well, Blink-182 is a gateway punk band. Yeah, but they're also a gateway band to Coldplay. You know what I mean? They don't necessarily lead to punk rock. They can.
Wait. No.
Sorry, Rick. Go ahead.
No, here's why we hate
Blink-182. How do we get off on this tangent?
We had the Clash week. We're going to have Blink-182 week. I'm arguing
Let me just say one thing. If you remember when Blink-182 was like in their heyday, when they were really getting big, you know, I'm talking 99 to like 2001, okay? Early 2000s. Here's what you have. And I'm not talking about punk scene wise. I'm talking about just pop culture. It was garbage those few years. You had Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, 98 Degrees, NSYNC, Aaron fucking Carter, all these terrible pop punk bands that were really just, it was all disposable music, okay? Just in the mainstream pop culture, okay? When you have Blink-182 come out and make like something like the All the Small Things video that rip on each and every one of those people, and are just having a fun time and making fun of people. In that sense, that's when they were sort of a really good reality check and for just mainstream pop music. And that's where I think you want to call it rebellion, I guess you can, came in handy. But in terms of, if you were talking about the punk scene, I mean, no. But I think in terms of mainstream, they were a good,
but they seem to be
a good way they were a good way for the rest of the culture to check itself.
But they seem to be accepted now as a legitimate like punk rock band. And I guess I'm not going to win the arguments with people who think they are. So, you know, it doesn't negatively affect my life. Just to me, they're not a punk band. That's it. That's it, people. I don't mean to offend you. Enjoy your records. I hope you love them. It's just not for me.
For those who, I mean, here's the thing. For anyone probably my age or maybe a little older and maybe a few years younger, they are a nostalgia act, and I don't think people realize that. That's
well,
it.
Well, Ricky, you're lucky that you have such good taste for such a young millennial like you are.
Well, listen, people, let's talk about some good music. Today.
That was a backhand.
No, I'm sorry, not today. On Friday, we announced something that's been in the works for 6 or 7 months. Well, more like 4 or 5 months. We announced the Punk News Band from the PC Mixtape, and I am so excited. 39 bands. We got punk. We got bands from all over the punk map. We got brand new bands. We got bands that were there from when punk rock began. We got bands that are super hard and super nasty. We got pop punk. We got a little bit of folk. We got electronica. We got hip hop. We got everything. We got Steven Yeun of Crass. We got Jello Biafra. We got exclusives from World Inferno, Friendship Inside. Exclusives from Mischief Brew. Exclusives from Leftover Crack. We've got an unreleased Ari Up track. Ari Up of the Slits. How insane is that? We've got some new bands. We've got Posers on it. We've got Shitty Friends, which is a great new band. Let's see, who else we have on this bad boy?
Leftover Crack, World Inferno.
Yes, Ricky, I named both of those. No, I'm kidding. But, but yes, I mean, Leftover Crack and World Inferno. We've got Culture Shock. We've got Citizen Fish. We've got...
Circle Jerks.
We've got Circle Dwarves. Jerks. We have Keith Morse announcing the tape. We've got Dwarves. We've got a rare Dwarves track. Let me tell you, people, this tape is kicking. It is kicking. What's interesting about this tape is the last one really came together in like a month. Like, I got the idea, and I put the whole thing together literally in like 2 weeks. I mean, there were some maybe finishing touches a little bit later on and stuff, but the whole thing was start to finish probably about 4 weeks, and it just came together like that. This one was much more of a struggle, not because bands weren't into it. Bands were into it, but because there's a whole lot more coordination to do on this one. And this one actually has a lot more, it was more advanced to put together, and you'll see when you get it. Much like the last one, it's mixed like a hip-hop mixtape, and then it's got shout-outs, interludes, intros, it's got a lot of jokes in it. Ricky's on it for a little bit, Tom Trom's on it for a little bit. It's hosted by myself and Dynamite Adam White. So I'm excited for this thing. I'm really excited for this thing.
Yeah, this is going to be cool. I was really, you know, I wasn't expecting us to do this again, but I mean, I'm on board, especially, I think I'm on it. Am I on it twice?
You're on it like 3 or 4 times, Ricky.
I think I am. Oh, sweet. Okay. So you get to hear my annoying voice for a little bit more.
I can't wait to pop that baby in my son's Buick Century 2001's tape deck and check that out. It's the only tape deck I have.
Well, Tom brings up a good point. I mean, people are like, where are you going to get a cassette tape? Where are you going to get a tape player? You can get one on Amazon.com for $10, literally, people. So listen,
go to your grandma's car, park it in the garage, and leave it running, put all the doors down, and listen to the put the garage door up and listen to the mixtape.
But listen, actually, I will give the kid a little bit of advice. If you're going to play this in an old tape player, make sure you test it with a crappy tape you don't care about at first, because sometimes tape players go bad and they just destroy every tape they have. So if you are going to play this on an old tape player, make sure you test it out with a cassette tape you don't care about first.
Put your Appetite for Destruction tape in there first.
So listen, I'm excited about this tape. I think it's real cool. It rocks from it's actually probably a little bit harder. It probably rocks a little bit more than the last one. It's got a lot of weird it's got some weird tracks on it. It's got some classic punk tracks. I'm telling you, people, check this tape out. It's going to be a one-time press. Oh, and just so people know, Punk News is not making any money off of it. I'm not making any money off of it. I'm putting up my own money. If we make money on it, then we're going to press up more copies and give them to the bands. Meanwhile, all the bands are getting copies themselves, but we'll give more copies to the bands if it actually makes money. So we'll see. So I hope you check it out. And so I guess let's get this podcast started proper. So check out the Punk News Band from the PC Mixtape. It kicks ass. And let's talk about what we're going to talk about this week. This week we are going to cover some hot new jams. We're going to talk about the newest of the new bands out there that we're excited to check out for 2016. And so I think the first two bands that I'm going to play is this band called VCR. VCR is a synth punk band from Canada, and they have a keyboard in them, even though Tom Trauma hates keyboards.
No.
And they just play the most frantic, berserk, crazy, explosive music that you've ever heard. I mean, it is just berserk stuff. It's kind of like the Screamers. It's kind of like Nervous Gender. It is wild, wild music. And so that's VCR in Canada. You can check them out, I think, at vcr.bandcamp.com or something like that. It's a different band than the other band that was known as VCR from a few years ago, although I like that band too. This is a new band called VCR. And then after that, I'm going to play a track by Alice Bag. Tom Trauma, do you know who Alice Bag is?
Boy, she's they were from San Francisco? Like late 70s, right?
No, L.A., late 70s.
Oh, L.A.
There's a band called The Bags,
yeah.
And the front woman was Alice Bag, and they were famously on Danger House Records, one of the greatest punk labels ever. They only ever put out like 11 records, I think, but Danger House Records, every single release by Danger House is just amazing, and The Bags were one of them. They never released an album, and I know Alice Bag has been in a lot of bands, but I don't think she ever actually released an official album ever. So this will be her first album. It's out on Don Giovanni Records. The song is called No Means No. I am super excited for this album. So it's a long-running punk titan finally getting her due. Alice Bag. Fun fact, Tom Trauma. Do you know who the bass player, Patricia, from The Bags, is married to?
No.
Dave Vanian of The Damned.
The Damned. Nice. The other great keyboard band other than Dio.
There you go. So we're going to play VCR from up in Canada, followed by Alice Bag on her new release coming up this summer on Don Giovanni Records.
Yeah.
And we are back. And that was the fierceness of VCR. And after that, a little bit of Alice Bag. Tricky Ricky, what do you got to spin for us tonight?
So I got two new, like two popular band songs, and then I got two moderately known, sort of known bands. I can do the new bands. I'd like the lesser known bands. I think that might be more interesting. What was the name of the guy that wrote in saying he didn't like my song from last week?
Oh, I don't even remember. I can look it up if you want.
Yeah, real quick, just Neil. Look it up.
Neil, that was right. Yeah,
his name's Neil. Neil, I hope you like these. Got some hardcore. Got some melodic pop punk and stuff in between. But I'll do the lesser known bands first. We premiered a song off Homesick Abortion's new album on Monday called The Art of Apathy. This band is hardcore crust punk out of LA. Most of the time Leftover Crack plays here. They usually open for them. I've seen them open for Leftover Crack like three times now. They're at that amazing secret show in Huntington Beach where Leftover Crack played in a small music shop. I reviewed that out, that show, and it was hands down one of the best shows I've ever been to. Top three of my life. Anyway, so, and then after that, I'll be playing another local LA band called Murderland. They came out with an album on Pirish Records called Splitsville. And so that track's called Another Homicide. But first, we'll go with Homesick Abortions. And this is Happily Ever After.
Should feel bad.
You got that chip on your shoulder, blood on your fangs, and they're starting to
that was, first you heard Homesick Abortions' Happily Ever After, and then the second song you heard there was Murderland. I'm sorry, the second song was by Murderland, and the song was called Another Homicide. So, guys, what's next?
Let's stick with the abortions theme, Ricky, because I just got the new Dayglo Abortions album, and I am absolutely thrilled about this. After DOA, this is probably the greatest Canadian punk band of all time, and they haven't made an album in 10 or 12 years. They started in about 1981 or so. The new album is called Armageddon Survival Guide, and I'm going to play a song called Cockroaches, which kind of goes along with the theme. And then last week, we streamed the new split album between Blank 77 and the Parasitics, two different New Jersey bands that play like spiky street punk. And I played a couple weeks ago, I played the Blank 77 song, Up the Punks. And this week, I would like to play the Parasitics song, Alcohol Withdrawal. So we're going to get some Dayglo Abortions, the great Canadian band, and Parasitics, a newer band made up of older guys from New Jersey, with Alcohol Withdrawal.
My cold beer. You have your cold beer? If not, you are fucking jabroni. That's the only time that we can meet.
And we are back. Tom, you know, I gotta say, the Paris 6 and the Blank 77, that's a very true punk's release, but that was divisive among the punk news community. Some people thought it was classic punk, and some people thought it was a little, I guess, cliche, mayhaps.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think there is a certain amount of cliche-ness to it, but it's a style that's fallen so out of favor. You just don't hear it very much anymore, at least outside of inside of mainstream punk circles. So I thought it was great. A nice breath of fresh air. And it probably wasn't that popular with people who think that Blink-182 is the Clash, but that's okay.
We're winning a lot of fans this episode.
The hate mail the next couple weeks. I'm going to take a month off, and you guys can read all the hate mail.
Ricky, help us out here. What can you turn the kids on to that is some good jams?
So my better known bands, I got the Falcon and I got Pears. So the Falcon came out with their first album in I think like a decade, and it's called Gather Up the Chaps off of Red Scare. It kicks ass. And so the song I'm going to be playing from that is The Fighter, The Rube, The Asshole. And then, of course, everyone knows I am a huge proponent of Pears. I think Green Star is an amazing, amazing album. So I'll be playing a song called from that album called I Love My Kennel. But first, let's do The Falcon, well, The Fighter, The Rube.
Actually, Ricky, you know, you did a pretty good interview with the Pears a little while ago. Pears, despite having, I guess, at least clearly the biggest record of their career so far, like they've been having a lot of turmoil. I mean, why do you think they've been having turmoil?
Turmoil in terms of what?
People breaking their hands. And like their turnover has been extremely high. Like it's unusual to
band members.
Yeah, it's unusual to see that much of a turnover, like in a band that's like clearly on the rise. You know, like when things are going good, people usually want to cling to the band to get that fame and get that cash.
Well, first of all, I don't know the exact internal struggles of whatever has been happening. I can tell you that their last bassist. I don't want to say that he was pretty misleading. And what happened was he kept saying that he was on his way to Los Angeles to fly out to Australia, and he never showed up.
Why?
That's just what happened. I mean, from what there was no real reason. There was no, they weren't fighting or anything like that. I think he was just afraid of the flight. I think it's that.
Is he the guy that moved down to New Orleans or something?
No, that Jarrett moved from Jarrett, their drummer, who they've had for a year now. He moved from, I believe, Philadelphia to New Orleans, but I think that bassist you're talking about, he lived in Georgia.
Who are the main Pears guys? Like who are the main guys?
Singer and a guitar player.
Well, it's Zach, who's their lead vocalist, and it's Brian, who is their guitarist. Those two have mostly written the songs. Alex was in there. Alex Talbot there was their bassist from the beginning. And by the way, I believe their drummer's name was Tim. He actually was not their first drummer. They had someone. They had a studio drummer when they were writing.
Go to prison.
When they would go to prison. So I think right now, especially with Eric Goodyear, who the guys have been friends with, I think since like high school or maybe even earlier. I think this turmoil you're seeing is over. When Stevie and I talked to them, they seem very happy, and from what I've seen on Instagram and their Facebook pages, they killed it at Grows Rock. And I think now there will be a lot more stability in that.
So what do you think is going to happen with Pears over the next year or 2 years?
I believe I don't exactly remember what happened, what they said. I think, well, they came out with a Record Store Day release, which I think people kind of missed. It was exclusively from one store. It wasn't an official Record Store Day thing, but it still came out. And then I think I imagine they're going to be touring a lot
that
during the summer.
I think part of the problem with a band like Pears, whether they might be losing more kind of their marginal members because they're touring like crazy, but they're probably still poor. You know, these guys have to leave good jobs and they're still not making any money. I'm hoping to see them in about a month open for Subhumans. I'm looking forward to that actually.
Every time I've talked with them and hung out with them, they've been tired, but their spirits have not been like worn down or anything. They've been just chugging through, and they know, and they're putting in a ton of time. More, and I think what we're not used to seeing is maybe we're not used to seeing a band work this hard. And I was calling other bands lazy, but these guys, they just keep moving. They're not deterred by anything. They just keep going. They have a tough time in Austin.
They're on the road all the time.
Yeah. And you know what? They had a tough time in Australia, but you know what? They made it fucking through. Zach broke his hand and kept going. They didn't have a bassist. They kept going. This band is not going to quit.
Hmm. Well, Ricky, are they paying you?
Yeah, let's see. We forgot what we were talking about.
You know what?
Ricky, when they finally do get some money, I mean, I made this joke earlier on the site, but you know, when they finally do make some money, they need to send you like a nice pair of gloves or something, because you've been there.
You know what?
Like Isotoner gloves.
Here's the thing.
This commercial in the 80s where the quarterback used to buy like his lineman a nice pair of Isotoner gloves, because they're the guys who keep him from getting sacked. Sports analogy, but anyway, the pair should buy you a nice pair of Isotoner gloves once they start making some money, because you've been a shameless promoter of them. You know, their biggest fan. Know,
here's the thing, and I can tell you why I've been pushing them.
It's okay. I don't think I've been pushing them. I'm not giving you a hard time.
No, I think here's the thing. This is, you know, believe it or not, I do take my position at. We're gonna get. You know, derailed a little bit, but
we're
anyway,
already derailed,
I take my position
friends.
I take my position at Punk News, believe it or not, quite seriously. And when I find a band that sounds this good and had that much potential, and then within less than a year they get signed to my favorite record label, it's just incredible to me. And I just believed in them. This is the first real band other than Direct Hit that I found when they were tiny. And now I've been following, and now I can honestly say I was one of their, you know, one of their earlier fans, especially on the West Coast.
That is true. Ricky was hyping this band long before anybody else
absolutely.
Was. That is
he
true.
Deserves a nice pair of gloves.
Yeah, so
you cut
here's
the fingers
thing.
Off him, Ricky.
So,
you look
and
cool.
I don't say, I consider these guys, you know, I consider them friends. Anytime they're down here, they treat me really well, and we love to hang out during and after shows. So to me, you know, they're like a band that I've found that I've invested not only like just purchasing music from, but also, you know, just time and just seeing them grow, and I'm just really happy and proud. And I'm not being.
He's like
you
the
know,
fifth member of the Beatles.
An asshole. I'm trying to be as genuine as I can. This band has given me a lot of hope for the punk rock scene, and I think that's why they have blown up too. The Go to Prison was a completely DIY project that blew up incredibly fast.
What do you think is going to happen for them career wise? Are they going to become as big as Blink 182? Are they going to stay at like say Leftover Crack level? Are they going to, you know, kind of blow up, and fall apart after a couple of years and go into different things? What do you think is going to happen?
You know, I think what they'll do is, I mean, they seem to be really happy with Fat. I think they're just, I think for now, for maybe the next year or two, they're just really happy with where they are now. I think you'll probably get a record or another EP out of them sometime soon, because those, you know, Brian and Zach are just writing song machines. So, I think so. They'll probably stick with Fat. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't have any basis for saying this. This is just my opinion. I think, and I don't know. I never.
Way to answer my question,
to them
Ricky,
about,
I don't know. I'm not making any guesses.
No. I think they'll stick with Fat, because I think they realize how. I mean, they even said in our interview, they realize how fortunate they are to be on where they are now.
Fair enough.
Especially when you don't have. When you did not have a thriving punk scene from, especially after Katrina, from what they've told me, from that part of the country. So they've inspired hope, and I think that's, and they're kind of, you know, they have the torch, and they're kind of going forward. So I wish them the best, and so that's my position on Paris.
Fair enough. Ricky, what were the tunes you were going to play?
So the first song I'm going to play is... The Falcons, The Fighter, The Rube, The Asshole, off their new album in over a decade called Gather Up the Chaps from Red Scare. And then Pairs of Song, I Love My Kennel, from their new monster of an album, Green Star, from Fat Records. Yeah, so here's the Falcon with The Fighter, The Rube, and The Asshole.
We are back. I really like the title of the Pairs album, Green Star, because like it doesn't really have any specific meaning. I think that's a really good title for an album, especially for a punk album, to tell you the truth. Tom Trauma, what are some of the other hot jams going on today? Are you reading the newspaper or something?
Oh no, I'm sorry. I have my list. I've been debating what songs I should share with the kids. I'm gonna go a little off script here, and I want to play. Earlier this year, Anthrax put out a new album. A lot of you might not be familiar with Anthrax. This is American Anthrax, not UK Anthrax.
They're both good, and the kids know who Anthrax is.
Well, okay. But anyway, they're one of the big four: thrash, Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer.
What's your order for the big four?
Oh, I'm not playing that. It changes on a daily basis.
I'll go Slayer, Anthrax, Metallica, Megadeth.
Well, here's the thing. Slayer never sold out. Metallica, at the end of the day, probably wrote the best songs.
I disagree.
Megadeth is probably the best technical band of the group. True. And Anthrax is the most fun live band. even though Megadeth back in the, or I'm sorry, Metallica back in the day used to play epic shows. I saw them several times in the between the in the 90s. I mean, I probably have seen them at least 10 times, and their shows were awesome. So I know, unfortunately, a lot of you will probably best remember them for like the Load era. But in the 90s and the early 90s and late 80s, Metallica was the best. The best. But anyway.
Tom, speaking of the 90s, Slayer in the 90s, was that like basically the most brutal show you've ever been to audience-wise?
I saw Slayer the first time in 1991. I went to the Clash of the Titans tour, which was Slayer, Anthrax, Megadeth, and a little-known up-and-coming band called Alice in Chains opening, believe it or not, who had just put out Man in the Box.
That is a crazy lineup.
It was literally, that was the year I graduated from high school, and we went, and this is back when high school graduation parties were fun, and like dads would buy kegs. So we had our long hair and our denim jackets, you know, and we went and drank free beer, and then we went and saw Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, and Alice in Chains. It was awesome. If only I could go back.
Slayer in the 90s. I mean, I obviously was not at those hardcore shows in the 80s where they say people brought like hammers and wore like football pads and stuff. But man, Slayer in the 90s, they used to sell Jägermeister shots.
Jäger would like sponsor their tours. Yeah.
Yeah. And they would sell the shots in like test tubes for some reason. And like these like gigantic, like totally jacked rednecks, yeah, all with the cheesy beards.
No, you know? I think they were jocks.
Not in Philadelphia. Philadelphia definitely rednecks, and they would say, "I'll take eight. They'll take like, I'll take six Jaeger shots," and the Jaeger girl would be like, "That's $72," and then he's like, "Here you go," and they would like down the shots right there, and they would just beat the shit out of each other. I mean,
I gotta say, you know, I always kind of get angry at these like metal pits because they're super violent and they kind of stole it from the punk scene, but the early 90s. Slayer pits were brutal. I mean, guys were just running at each other and just clotheslining and throwing fists. And it was too rough for me.
I mean,
and guys, I was a young man, and it was too rough for me in those days.
I almost agree, but I really enjoyed that scene. Like, I wouldn't get in fights with the guys, but I really enjoyed that scene. And it's not like that at all anymore for Slayer, because I guess because the audience is like so much older these days. But I mean, like, the bouncers were literally fist fighting nonstop for the whole show. Like, the two or three bouncers would try to like drag out these giant rednecks, and they're getting punched, and the bouncers are punching. Like, it was a madhouse.
In the late 80s, so I started going to shows in the late 80s. By the late 80s, the punk bands that were still around had gotten pretty stale. I mean, you know, there's the exceptions, the Bad Religion, stuff like that. But the punk scene, but I was so into that thrash scene of the late 80s, early 90s, and those shows were so amazing. I remember seeing like DRI for the first time, and it was the craziest shit I've ever seen, dude. Still, if I went to it now in my early 40s, it would still be crazy.
I was an active
participant in that scene, and because to me, that thrash, that late 80s, early 90s thrash, it picked up the punk torch, because like I said, there wasn't a heck of a lot going on in the punk, at least not in the wider punk community. So yeah, I'm an unrepentant fan of that music.
Dude, I gotta say, man, I saw DRI about a year ago. They played for 2.5 hours. I gotta say, Tom, that was about 2 hours too long.
Wow, 2.5 hours.
Well, they played for 2.5 hours.
Nice.
I got my money's worth. It was a long. Anyway, Tom, you were playing Anthrax.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna play
Anthrax.
They just put out a new album February of this year. It's called For All Kings, and it's fantastic. I just think it kind of flew under a lot of people's radar. It's the first album in about 5 years. It's their second one since the return of Joey Belladonna, who was not their first singer, but he's kind of their classic mid to late 80s era singer.
Tom, who's the first singer?
Turbin. What? Neil Turbin.
Yeah, Neil Turbin. But he's technically not the first singer, but he's like the first.
He recorded the first album. The first stuff they recorded. The Anthrax has a real rich history. I think part of the reason they're not as big as the Megadeths and the Metallica is because they have had so much turnover over the years.
Also, I think, honestly, Anthrax tunes aren't quite as indebted to the classic song structure. If you really look at Slayer and Metallica, their songs follow classic song structure for the most part. You know what I mean?
Well, I love Anthrax. I'm thrilled. Anthrax is cool, man. I'm thrilled that they've got it back together. And I'm going to play the new album is called For All Kings, came out in February. I'm going to play the last song from that album. It's called Zero Tolerance. And as far as picking a song from this album, it's kind of a crapshoot. There was no hits per se, but it was a fantastic album. And I think, like I said, I think it kind of snuck under the radar. And I encourage you kids to check this out. And then I'm going to take it a little different mellow direction to wrap things up. And I just got this record. I know it's been out over a month now. But Ray Rocket, who is the co-singer with Cody Templeton of Teenage Bottle Rocket, just put out his first solo album. And basically, it's mostly all acoustic versions of Teenage Bottle Rocket songs.
It's good, though.
It's good. I've been enjoying it. It's not particularly artistically adventurous, but it's very listenable, and I've been enjoying listening to it. And the one, I don't want to say new song, but the one song that wasn't a Teenage Bottle Rocket song that he recorded was actually a cover of a classic late-era Ramones song, Pet Sematary. So...
Yeah, that's my favorite on the Ray Rocket album.
Well, you know, my favorite one, yeah. Ricky, is actually Nothing Else Matters When I'm With You, which has like a dozen different Metallica references in it.
That's, yeah, you know what, it's a fun album. But I gotta tell you, I really do like that cover of Pet Sematary. I think it was an interesting choice for him to make.
It's an interesting choice, but it's really not far off the beaten path. It's not like it's a... You know, but anyway, I dug it too. And since I'm going to make people listen to Anthrax, which they're probably going to be pissed at me for, I'm going to give people something they probably will enjoy. So this is anyway, we're going to hear Anthrax Zero Tolerance, and then we're going to hear Ray Rocket off his brand new album, came out about a month ago. Do You Want to Go to Tijuana? We're going to play Pet Sematary, the Ramones cover.
The truth of humanity's far from insane. Its focus is cruel. It's heartbreaking pain. More reason to hate. A savage decision is not hard to make. Family and friends dare to threaten what's mine. Kill motherfuckers for crossing the line. Tighten the noose round my life and I choose murder and mayhem, cause I'm worse than you. Let's
Cthulhu with his standpoints, ancient goblins and warlords command the crown without making a sound. The smell of death is all around, and at night when the cold wind blows, no one cares, nobody knows. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't wanna live my life again. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't wanna live my life again. Follow Victor to that ancient place. This ain't a dream, I can't escape. Molars and fangs, the clicking of bones. Spirits moaning upon the tombstones. In the night when the moon is bright, someone cries something ain't right. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't wanna live my life again. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't wanna live my life again. Oh. The moon is full, the air is still. All of a sudden, I feel a chill. Victor is grinning, flesh is rotting away. Skeletons dance, I curse this day. In the night when the wolves cry out, listen close and you can hear me shout out, 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 out. Shout out, 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 out. Shout out, 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 out. Shout out, 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 out. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't wanna live my life again. I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery. I don't wanna live my life again. Oh, oh. I don't wanna live my life, not again. Oh, oh. I don't wanna live my life, not again.
And we are back, and that was Anthrax and Ray Rocket of Teenage Bottle Rocket. Tom Trauma, Teenage Bottle Rocket, do you think it's going to continue, or do you think it's the end?
Well, they've already said they're going to continue, and that's why...
They said it. You know,
they have a new drummer. I mean, they're continuing, I guess. That's what they said.
Do you want them to continue?
If Ray wants to continue, they should continue. And everybody should shut up about it. We've actually already had this conversation on the podcast.
That's right.
People are like, oh, it's too soon. I'm like, it's his twin brother. If he's ready, you're ready. Shut up.
Fair enough. Well put. Well put, Tom. So let's wrap this up. I got two more jams. You know, I talked about this band, The Units, last week or the week before. The Units were an early LA, San Francisco synth punk band, and they're re-releasing their
John, are you rubbing the keyboard thing in my face today? I swear, you're going out of your way to play synth punk bands.
I'm actually not. It's just that how that happened to be. I've been on kind of a synth punk kick for the past 2 years or so. And so The Units were an early San Francisco punk band, great band. Their first release was actually a private press that like you can't get, and they're re-releasing it, which is awesome because it's technically different sound recordings than their first album. Meanwhile, they're re-releasing releasing their long lost second album, which was never released. I used to use the word release like 7 times in a row. Anyways, I'm super excited for the release of the second album, and I've already pre-ordered the re-release of their original 7-inch. So I'm going to play a song off that. This is called Cannibal, and it's a great tune. And then after that, I'm going to play one of my all-time favorite bands, the Melvins. The Melvins are releasing an album called Basses Loaded this summer, and it's them and 6 different bassists on different tracks, just kind of collaborating. The Melvins have been collaborating with a ton of people over the past 5 years, and it just makes each of their releases unique and interesting. And it's like, well, what are they going to do in this release? What are they going to do in that release? It's so much different than most bands. We're like, here's another album. Here's another album. Each Melvins release is kind of its own entity. And it's like the Melvins do this. And so this track is them recording with, well, Dale Crover and Buzz Osborne recording with Stephen of Red Cross, Stephen McDonald of Red Cross. And the track is called Decay of Lying. And it is a super Decay of Lying. And it is a super trippy, heavy, almost Hawkwindian track. And I think it's great. So first up, it's the Units. And then after that, it's the Melvins doing the Decay of Lying on their EP called War Pussy. But it's also going to be on their upcoming album called Bases Loaded.
Moments to come to end my victims, frozen
and we are back. And that about wraps it up tonight. Tom Trauma, Tricky Ricky, anything else the kids should check out real quickly? Like just any bands you recommend?
Let's see. Well, the new Direct Hit album coming out on Fat can't be bad. I think it's going to be amazing. That's going to be one of the best pop punk band albums of the year. Morning Glory's new EP that they that on Buyback Records and Anxious and Angry is phenomenal. It's one of the best EPs to come out so far. Mean Gene's new Tight New Dimension album is actually, it's very fun and a very cool record. I'll be interviewing their lead singer slash guitarist probably later this week, and I'll have that up sometime in the next couple weeks. Trying to think of what else.
Tom Trauma, what are you looking forward to?
I'm reviewing a couple things right now that I'm pretty stoked on. One is a band from Detroit called Child Bite that I've actually played on the podcast before. They play like a spazzy punk metal kind of crazy insane music. And the other one I'm working on reviewing that I'm loving is a band called The Shrine. I think they're from, where are they from?
Are they from Ventura?
First album produced by Chuck Tucowsky. They're on Tank Crimes Records and another record label as well.
The new one is on Century Media. It's a much bigger release, but they were on a tiny label called TP. So this is a much bigger release. It's called Rare Breed, and it's sort of like a cross between, if you could imagine, a cross between sort of like stoner metal and skater punk, and it's pretty cool.
Oh,
fun.
I'm sorry. I had two more I just wanted to mention.
Fun fact, Tom Trauma. This is one of the first reviews Tricky Ricky ever wrote for Punk News, and he trashed them. He trashed them.
Yeah. I remember that.
And I think he was wrong. I think Trine's pretty cool.
Keith Morris does guest vocals on this album. So.
And it's a cool track.
Yeah, not my best review.
Well, it happens sometimes that you listen to something, you go, man, this is not my bag. And then you'll like put it on your iPod and you keep listening to it over the course of the year. You're like, oh man, I'm starting to like this. This is pretty good.
Yeah.
It happens.
Honestly, I think I was maybe on the staff for like 3 weeks, and I thought I was just being high and mighty, and I didn't like it, but that's no diss to the band. I would never
say anything negative about anything on Tank Crimes record. I'd throw the review right in the trash. Never will I say anything bad about them.
Yeah, so that was not my best.
Just kidding. Writing. I'll say something bad about anybody, but I like that.
I just wanted to mention Decent Criminal. Their self-titled album is actually quite good if you like garage, like the garage punk thing. And then also I'm very much looking forward to Pups, The Dream Is Over from Side One Dummy, which that's their second album. And, that DVP song is amazing. So check those out. And then also I wasn't on the episode where you and Adam talked about this, John, but that Leftover Crack, cover of, Men at Work is phenomenal.
There's some good old man stuff coming out this year too that we should mention. Descendants have a new album coming out this year, which is fantastic.
Yes, yes.
TSOL's got a new album coming out this year. The Adolescents have a new album coming out this year. Now, these things could be very hit and miss. It may be very good or very, very bad, but I'm excited to hear the results anyway.
Well, listen, kids, I'm excited for Posers, which is a Philadelphia punk band
that is
killing it. Oh, you know Posers?
Yeah, the chick singer, right? They're cool.
Yes, they have a female singer.
I'm sorry, the female singer. They're cool.
They are super cool. And honestly, they opened for NoFX recently. I'm guessing big things in their future. I could be wrong. But like, you know, some bands just have that special thing. But not only do you have that special thing, you can tell it would translate wide to a wide audience, you know? Like Throbbing Gristle has a special thing, but Throbbing Gristle is never going to be huge. You know what I mean? But Posers, I think, really could be big. Super great band. I'm super excited for Bad Canoes. I think they're working on new material. I'm not sure. I love Bad Canoes. Probably my favorite new punk rock band. I'm excited for The Lopez, which is a band out of Pittsburgh. It's a very unique kind of harsh band, but they seem really cool. I'm excited for a band called Whoopee Sticks that just released their debut EP, and it's really cool. It's kind of spastic. It's spunky, if you will. And I'm trying to think what else is coming out that's looking cool. Oh, Shitty Friends is a cool band. I'm probably going to see them this Friday. And Rentiers, Joel Tannenbaum's new band, is cool. Plow United is releasing a new LP. I think people know that, don't they? Yeah, they know that. We announced that, yeah. Plow United is putting out a new record. A lot of cool stuff happening this year. 2015, we talked about it. Little Week, I thought. Little Week, 2015. Or was it 2014 that was weak?
No, 15.
No, 2014 was weak. Killer.
2015
it's
was
funny
weak, yeah.
Because...
15 wasn't great. But I mean, there was a lot of great stuff that came out.
When I went to look at, like, you know, we were talking about playing some songs from this year, and I just started jotting down my favorite LPs so far this year. And just off the top of my head, I had written down like 12 LPs that I thought were worthy of my top 10, top 20 list. Last year, September, I think I had like 12, and I was going, oh shit. It wasn't until like a late October push that really gave us some good music. But yeah, this year's really shaping up. If it keeps going the way it's going now, there's going to be, you know, everybody's going to have 30 things they want to put on their top 20 list.
Actually, right now, very briefly, call it right now, Tom Trauma, don't say your album of the year, but what's going to be the group punk news album of the year? What do you think?
Yo, that's a tough one, John, you know, because I haven't, you know, I knew Nightbirds was going to be the one last year.
I'm so glad it was Nightbirds, too.
But there's no Nightbirds album, there's no consensus favorite this year. Like, no, like, because I would think that maybe like a Face to Face could be that, but that doesn't.
It's not gonna be face to face.
But here's the one that's coming out at the end of July that could be good or it could be a steaming pile. But Bouncing Souls are putting out an album this year.
Huge.
But there's nobody's come out of left field yet to blow me away.
I disagree. I think here's the thing. The Nightbirds album kicked ass last year. Okay, it was my number two.
My number two. Also.
Would you, yeah,
my was, number
okay.
three.
And John, what, it was near your number three. Okay,
and everybody the had thing it is, on their
no
list.
No one, but everyone had it on their list. But it was, but like I pointed out on the end of the year podcast, it was no one's number one. But it was the consensus best album of the year.
That's because we all knew it was going to win. So we wanted to give some other bands some props because they weren't going to win. At least that's for me. Like for me, my top three could have been any of them. So I had to make some hard choices. And I'm like, well, Nightbirds is going to win. So let me give it to Mischief Brew because Mischief Brew is amazing too.
See, for me, it was it was very close between the Nightbirds album and Constructs of the State. But I think Constructs of the State was just, you know, 1 point higher than that one. But I think a safe bet for album of the year will be the new Descendants.
I think you're right. I think it's gonna be Descendants.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone, that'll be a really good consensus album. I mean, I think everyone will pretty much agree that it's gonna be great, and if it comes out, it'll be great.
You don't think it'll be the new Anthrax album?
But yeah, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see. But I think if I were to put money on it, Descendants.
I don't know that there's that one. The thing with the Nightbirds album, and we talked about this before, is everybody liked it. You know what I mean? Everybody liked it. Maybe it was nobody's number one, but everybody liked it. But what's the album so far that everybody liked? You know, even like, okay, the Descendants, but is John going to love the new Descendants album? I don't know. You and I probably would. I don't know.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if Green Star will make it to number one. I'll probably make it on
that's
the
a top
li- on the top
question.
Steph,
but like, because like Green Star,
yeah,
to
so
me,
but I don't know if it'll make number one.
I haven't bought the album yet. I haven't bought the album yet. Shame on me. But I like the Pairs, but I don't love the Pairs. It's one of those things. It might be a top 20 for me, but it probably won't be a top 5, top 10. You know, unless the new album really kicks my ass. But I like Go to Prison, and it. Could have been a top 20 for me, but I was a little late to the party on it.
To be honest, I think I was the only one that put Go to Prison on their top 20
Ricky, you are a tastemaker. No one has ever argued otherwise.
That's true. Ricky is the tastemaker. Just look what his damning word did to the poor shrine. Anyways.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Listen, come on. I'm never going to live that one down.
Listen, you can reach us at podcast@punknews.org, and I'm telling you, people, check out the Punk News band from the PC mixtape. It kicks ass. We'll see you next week.